Good morning, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We continue our study on the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This morning we shall focus on chapter 14 verse 13 to verse 17. Remember, the context is within the worship service. The abuse in the worship service was there were people who would like to speak the word of God in a foreign language where no one in the congregation understood. That was made known to us in chapter 14, verse 2. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God, because God understands all languages. For no man understandeth him, no man inside the congregation, not no man in the whole world, no man inside the church could not understand him. Howbeit, in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. So as far as the rest of the people are concerned, it is mysterious. We have no idea what he's talking about. And so why would you want to speak the word of God in a language that no one in the congregation understood? They do not have the kind of order of service that we enjoy. Remember, the Christian faith that the missionaries from the West brought to us in this part of the world had already been established for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years since the time of the 16th century Reformation, and if you want to trace it further back, since the time of the Pentecost. It was not like that in the time of the church in Corinth. We have a proper order of service, and the leaders of this church, since the church was founded, tweak it, adopted it, and apply it according to biblical principles, and that's how we come up with all the different orders of service for different occasions. We have one order of service for general worship every Lord's Day. We have one order of service for funeral. We have one order of service for vigil services. Another order of service for our fellowship groups. Another order of service for weddings. All to make sure that they are biblical and tweak and adapted and adjusted for the different occasions. They did not have this kind of history and development. At this time, they even do not have the completed Bible. Many of the books of the New Testament were not written yet. Paul was not in prison. So all the prison epistles that you and I know very well, and we are very comfortable with reading them, like 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, all these were not written yet. Neither was the book of Revelation, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, not even the Gospel of John, all these not written yet. And so the church was in the process of development and growing and establishing itself, including the order of service. And so when this abuse came into the church, it was very easy for them to abuse it and to take advantage of it because there was no fixed structure and order. And that's why at the end of this chapter, the Apostle Paul will give them guidelines on how to have a proper order of service. Because of all the ministries in the church, the worship service is the most important. Most important. Because the whole congregation is gathered together as one. Not in any of the other ministries. The fellowship, YF for the young people. Teens for the teens. Young adults for the young adults. Adult fellowship for the adults. Senior adults, golden years. They are organized for their respective age groups. We may encourage anyone and everyone to attend. You can attend the messages if you find that message is very suitable for you. But to become a member of the fellowship, in order to become a committee member and to serve, you have to belong to that specific age group. Because the messages are targeting the struggles and the challenges for that particular age group. That is why the fellowship groups are so important and so critical. Imagine a young person, a youth, facing his challenges as a youth in life. And then we do not have all these fellowships. And then we target messages that are for the golden years. The golden years are preparing to meet the Lord. You know that, right? Most of their time on earth have already been lived. They do not know whether they're going to wake up tomorrow when they sleep at night. A young person doesn't think that way. A young person looks forward to his whole life because he thinks that he has a long, long life ahead of him as a 16-year-old in contrast to an 85-year-old. And so when we have messages that are preparing the golden years to meet the Lord, the young person may want to attend if he is trying to help his grandfather or grandmother or grandparent. But for himself, he may not find this very suitable. And he definitely cannot become a committee member planning messages and program for an 85-year-old because he's only 16. He doesn't know what's it like to be an 85-year-old. But you can go there and attend the message, but not become a committee member helping out, running the ministry. But in the church as a worship service, it's everybody together as one whole. And if Satan wants to disrupt the whole church, and if he were to do it through the ministries, he had to disrupt ministry by ministry, ministry by ministry, in order to succeed in disrupting the whole church. But if he were to disrupt the entire worship service, that 1 hour that he spent in disrupting the whole service, where the whole church is gathered, it is so effective. In 1 hour, he can disrupt the whole church. In contrast to disrupting the whole church through the ministries, he has to spend many, many hours. He has to plant so many of his agents, his angels of light, his wolf in sheep's clothing. If he wants to disrupt the whole church through the ministries, he has to plant them in the junior worship. He plants them in the kindergarten, plants them in CMC, plants them in the teens, the YF, and all the fellowship groups. And he has to spend many hours doing that. That's why the worship service is so important, and we need to guard it well. And the key is, it must be a time of fruitfulness. That's why it has to be for the edification and the blessing of the saints. And to speak a language, even though it is the word of God, when nobody understands, it bears no fruit. It encourages no one. In fact, it has the opposite effect, which was it disrupts. It brings disunity. It brings chaos. Because if you do it, what will stop others from also imitating and following your example? You want to stand up and speak Swahili. Any one of you speak Swahili? No. And then the other person wants to speak Japanese. Any one of you speak Japanese? No. The other person wants to speak some other foreign language where no one here understands. And you just imagine the chaos. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people standing up, coming up from to the pulpit and start giving the word of God in a language that nobody in the congregation understands, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them. Chaos will prevail. The people gather together because they want to hear God's word. They gather together because they want to praise and worship God. But when people disrupt the worship service in that manner, people will stop coming. People will feel very disheartened and discouraged. What's the point of coming for worship when all we get is just chaos? And that's why the Apostle Paul spent chapters 12, chapters 13, and then now chapter 14 to deal with the issue directly after he has established the doctrines of understanding what is spiritual gifts. The motive for using it is love. You must know, because of the love for Christ, you must behave yourself. You cannot just simply do it to disrupt because of the love that you have for Christ. Were there wolves in sheep's clothing who will try to undermine? These are the agents of Satan? Sure. If these people refuse to listen after Paul gave the final word in the conclusion of this chapter, how the service ought to be organized, make sure that it has to be done decently and in order, and if they refuse, they will be chastised, they will be disciplined. Because now you have clear instruction from the word of God. You want to worship God, and God says this is the manner it ought to be done. Anyone who refuses to behave and disrupt the worship service, imagine he is disrupting the church as a whole. People can be blessed as a whole, or people can be hurt as a whole. That's why guarding the worship service is paramount. And so the Apostle Paul continues with his reasoning. Everything, every person, every language has a meaning and significance, including musical instrument. Why not us as God's children? How much more in worship, in praise of God, that we do so with significance, with meaning, with understanding. And so, from verse 13 to 17, he continues. Now, remember the context is worship. And so he highlights certain events that will be done during worship. Verse 13, you see the word speak, that is speaking the word. Verse 14, you see the word pray. Verse 15b, you see the word sing. Verse 16, you see the word bless. Verse 16b, you see the word give thanks. Now all these are activities done during worship service. Now if a person were to do all these things, speak in a language that nobody understands, praise in a language that nobody understands, sing in a language that nobody understands, bless, give thanks in a language that nobody understands, what is going to happen to the worship service? Why would we want to invite an interpreter? Let's say, all right, I speak in English. We invite an interpreter to come up and speak in Swahili. You know, Swahili is the national language of the Kenyan. You think that the leaders are cuckoo? You think that we are crazy? Because nobody here understands Swahili. You understand the English language. That's why we speak in English. That's why it's known as the English-speaking congregation. So that you come with your eyes open, that this is an English-speaking congregation, I speak English, and so I come for this worship service. The 8 a.m. service is for the Mandarin-speaking congregation. If you're bilingual, you can attend both. But if I don't speak Mandarin, I won't want to attend the 8 a.m. service. But if this is called English congregation service, why would we want to translate it, interpret it into Swahili? When nobody here speaks Swahili, imagine not just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and nobody else speaks any of these languages. But these people insist, why speak only English? I want to speak also. I want to speak also. Everybody wants to speak. We want to sing that way also. We want to do everything that way. Chaos. Chaos, and that's why the Apostle Paul had to highlight this point by point to drive home the point. It must be fruitful. It must help the people in the congregation that when they come for worship, their mind must be involved. That's the key for fruitfulness or edification. They must be built up. The worship is to build up the faith of the people. When they come, they hear God's people gather together from all the different corners of Singapore. From Monday to Saturday, we all go to our little corner in Singapore and witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And on the first day of every week, the Lord's Day, we all gather together from all our different corners and we worship and praise God together, and the worship and the praise must be in a language that we all can understand to build up our faith. And once your faith is built up and you are strengthened in the inner man before you are thrust out again into your little corner Monday to Saturday to face the world out there where Satan is God, where it is enemy territory, where everyone will do what is right in their own eyes except for believers. They continue to do what is right in the eyes of God, which means they're going to face persecution. And then when they come back, it's like coming back home where everyone is like me, a child of God, have accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior. And we all sing the same hymn. You don't need to be on guard. You are now at home on earth, a home away from home, with God's people, God's family, and you praise the Lord together, and you can't if they are all in different languages, which is chaotic. And that's why Paul says, let him that speak in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. What does that mean? Pray that there will be an interpreter. There's nothing wrong with speaking the word of God in another language. If we invite a very important keynote speaker from Kenya, and he speaks only Swahili, he can't speak English, let's say. Because even though Kenya, of course, many of them speak English because it's also Commonwealth like us. Let's say he can't. And then he has a message for us. We need to have an interpreter, which means the interpreter must speak Swahili and English. Otherwise, there is no point inviting him, no matter how good a preacher, no matter how great a messenger of God's word he is in his country. He will be useless to us because we won't understand him. No matter how good the message, he will not be of any use to us unless there is an interpreter who can understand Swahili and English. That's what it means. Pray that he may interpret. Pray that there will be an interpreter who can come and give us the word, explain the word of God to us. I know I'm useless in China. I know. All the years of studying in Bible college, all the years of studying the original language, I'm useless in China because I can't speak Chinese. And no matter how passionate I preach the word of God, no matter how fervent and zealous, no matter how I do it, they don't understand a word of it. What is the point? Unless there is an interpreter who will accompany me everywhere I go. To all the churches, I'm useless in China unless I speak Chinese, Mandarin. Any one of you who speak Mandarin, and you can share the gospel in Mandarin, you are 1,000 times better than me in China. Even though you may not have my background, even though you may not know the original languages of the Bible, even though you may not know all the theological issues, but as long as you can speak Mandarin and the gospel message, even those few words, you are 1,000 times better than me. Because the key is interpretation, understanding. Be fruitful, build up. Because the purpose of the Word of God that God has given to us has only one purpose, and that is to edify. The Word of God is to transform lives, to build up. That's what to be fruitful means, whereby they bear the fruit of the Spirit. And they cannot arrive in the state and condition without first understanding. That's why the target is always the mind. God always targets the mind, and so does the devil. You know that, right? Empty your mind, they say, when you do those terrible meditation. Don't you dare empty your mind. You empty your mind, the filth of the world will flood in. Guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Let the peace of God do that for you. You don't want people to mess up your mind, because if you have a broken hand, you put in the cast, the bone will heal after a while, and you'll be fine. How hard it is to heal a broken mind. You and I know that. We have seen this. We have experienced this. The broken mind is one of the most difficult things to heal. That's why you guard your mind. You don't let the enemy play the fool with it. Be careful what enters into your mind. You get all the wrong doctrines inside your mind, you're going to live a messy life. That's how important the Word of God is. And that's why God says through the Apostle Paul, you want to speak the Word in another language for God's people? Very good. But pray that there will be an interpreter who will interpret it and explain the Word of God to the people. Because otherwise, no matter how good you speak it, they don't understand. There is no benefit. There is no fruitfulness. There is no building up of the lives of my people, God says. So don't do it. Don't do it. Unless there's an interpreter, by all means. That's why later on he will regulate, maximum 3. 2 or 3. Even with interpreter, he will regulate. Remember, they are not like us. With an organized Christianity handed over to us from missionaries. They were at the early inception stage. They were beginning, they were learning. And that's why it was so easy for the evil one to come in and disrupt. It is harder for them to come in and disrupt because we already have an established order of service that is organized. You know when to stand, you know when to say the Lord's Prayer. All these are organized. It's very hard to disrupt. But not in those days. And that's why Paul says, when it comes to speaking, pray for an interpreter who can interpret the Word of God and explain the Word of God to people. Otherwise, don't use it. In prayer, talking to God, especially in corporate prayer. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, me, I know what I'm praying. It's between me and God. But my understanding is unfruitful. My understanding, I understand, but my understanding does not bear fruit because the people around me, they don't know what I'm praying. And if they do not know what I'm praying, they cannot say amen to my prayer, which is exactly what verse 15a says. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, I will also pray with the understanding also, so that other people may also understand together with me. Remember, this is not praying inside the closet. This is during worship service. This morning, I spoke at the Mending congregation. They also had the pastoral prayer. I did not say amen. You know why, right? Because I don't know a word of what Elder Kosuche prayed. Not that I don't want to say amen, but I don't know what he's praying. And my principle is, if you do not know what the person has just prayed, you don't anyhow say amen. Amen means you agree, you know. How can I agree to something that I have absolutely no idea what it is? So I don't say amen. Everybody else say amen, because they understand it's a Mandarin congregation. Elder Chung was next to me. He said amen very loudly. He understood. I kept quiet. I don't understand. I don't say amen. Because that's exactly what the Bible says. How is the person going to say amen with you if he does not understand what you have just prayed? Prayer is very important in worship. Prayer is us asking God for blessing. So at the start of our worship service, we have the invocation. Don't turn invocation into pastoral prayer. Invocation means we are invoking, pleading with God to descend mightily to bless us. And that's why it is so important that the chairman comes up here and he prayed a prayer that you all of us can understand, because we are all going to worship together. We are all praying and asking God, invoking his blessing to come down upon us, to bless every item of worship. Because it's not just the chairman alone that is worshiping, even though he is praying alone, but his prayer is representing all of us. Because in worship, we all must know what he has just prayed for, so that we all can agree and prepare our minds as we worship God together. And that's why it is so critical and so important. Don't get it confused. Invocation means invoking God's presence, invoking God to bless us. Pastoral prayer means we ask God for help. When somebody asks you, for example, to give thanks, don't pray for everything under the sun as you are praying for pastoral prayer and you'll take you what, 20 minutes. People will all start eating before you finish, I tell you. You ask to just simply give thanks, you just give thanks. Don't go and pray for everything in the church. Then you start praying for the CMC, the Sunday school, the YF, the YAF, the AF, and you're just simply asked to give thanks. You just give thanks. But people want to give thanks together with you. And in order to do that, they must understand what you have just prayed. Because that's what corporate prayer is supposed to be. We are not saying private individual prayer. If you pray a totally different language that nobody else understands, only you understand. During corporate prayer, this was the problem. This was the problem. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, I understand what I'm praying. If you want to pray in your closet or by yourself, you understand and you speak multiple languages, you can choose any language you want to pray to God, because God understands all languages. God understands all languages. All languages originated from Him. Please understand this. God understands all languages. If He doesn't understand all languages, then God has a problem. You and I have a problem. Because there will be one group who is converted and he prayed. God says, sorry, I don't know what you are praying. Please explain. God understands all languages. We don't. We need interpreter. And when it comes to prayer during worship, all the more, especially corporate prayer, we need to know what you are praying for so that we all can agree with you. We all can say amen with you, because that's exactly what it's supposed to be. My understanding is unfruitful. My understanding of it does not bear fruit in the minds of others because they don't understand. Remember, what is the purpose of corporate prayer? The rest can agree with you. In order for that to happen, they must understand what you've just prayed for. So first is speaking the word of God. God speaking. We hear. That means we must understand. Don't speak in a language without an interpreter. So pray for an interpreter if you want to have a message from God for us. Prayer. Corporate prayer in this context. Pray using a language that everybody understands, please, so that we all can benefit. We all can say amen together with you, because that is the wonderful thing about prayer. When you pray in a language that we all understand, what do you think happens? Many, many things happen at the same time. It touches our hearts, it warms our hearts, it strengthens our faith. Number two, at the same time, you teach me how to pray, because that's how people learn prayer, by listening to how people pray. You don't sit down there, all right, this is how you pray, you imitate me. Maybe for young children, even for young children, as they grow older, they listen to how mom and dad prays. And then they will learn how to pray, because they're going to imitate, they're going to follow your terms, your words, the way you pray. They could simply pick it up. I never realized this until one day when I heard one of the FCM students. I came to this church through the FCM ministry. I was invited by Elder Ko Kim Hyang. I was from my previous church, and they asked me whether I could help out in the FCM. And that's how my wife and I, Angie and I, came over to this church. And then I've been teaching the FCM since I was a student in FEBC, after many years. And then one day when one of the FCM students was leading the YF, and then I heard how he prayed. And I was shocked, because the way that he prayed, he was using phrases and words that I use. He was copying me. And then that woke me up. Because as a student in FEBC, I was not a father yet. I became a father only after I graduated from FEBC. And then it made me realize that as a parent, my children will learn how to pray from the way I pray. And so I better study the Bible and learn how to pray correctly. Because we want to pray with them the moment they are born. The moment before they drink their milk, we pray with them. Before they go to sleep, we want to pray with them. Since birth, we want this for our children. That means, as parents, I must make sure that I pray correctly, because in the course of my prayer, I'm communing with God. But at the same time, my children are going to listen, and they are going to imitate. They're going to use your vocabulary. They're going to use the way that you pray, the order in which you pray. You pray for the glory of God, you pray for God's will to be done. All these things are very critical and important, because you may be praying, but the people listening, they're also learning how to pray from you at the same time. That's what it means by fruitful. So when you pray in a language that nobody understands, your understanding bears no fruit in the lives of the people, because corporate public prayer has a multiple benefits. Not only has God heard you, not only does it thrill and strengthen our faith and our hearts, but the congregation, they are also listening to how you pray, so that they're going to learn from you as a chairman, as a pastor, on how to pray, so that when they go back home, when they pray for their children, they also know how to pray. That's why it's so important that we pray properly, we pray correctly. Just now I prayed for those who are sick. I pray for baby Grace. I pray for our sister Chui Yin. It's very hard to pray under those circumstances. You pray for the Spirit of God to help you to pray. And so later on, if you want to pray for them, what do you think may happen? You may follow how we pray. And if I pray wrongly, if I do not pray in a manner that is biblical, I transgress against God and I transgress against you. Because now you're following me and pray wrongly, because I was not careful and make sure that how I pray is biblical. And that was what happened in worship service. That's why the Apostle Paul said to them, you may understand what you're praying, but you must also do it in a language that others may understand, so that they can also have fruits. Because that's what spiritual gifts are meant to be. Remember chapter 12? Everything that we do is supposed to bless and help others become more mature and more stable in their walk with Christ, especially in the church, before they are thrust out into the world to face the world, which is enemy's territory. Satan is God, where everyone will do what is right in their own eyes. Inside the church, Christ is the head of the church. Everything must be done according to what is right in the eyes of Christ. That means follow the Bible. Two very different worlds. This is home. That is not home for the believer. Outside in the world is not home. Don't feel comfortable. If you are very comfortable with worldly things, check your salvation. You're not supposed to be. Because outside the world, crucify Christ. And if you live a life of holiness, they are going to hurt you and try their best to crucify you too. Unless you are not living a life of holiness, unless you're living a life of carnality, and then you blend very well with them, and they are going to pat you on the back, and they're going to praise you sky high, because you are just as carnal as they are. And then you come to church, and then you pretend again to put on now the mask of a Christian. You are nothing but a hypocrite, and God will find you out, and He's going to judge you. That's why the church worship service is so important. Guard it well. The multiple blessings that come every Lord's Day worship is innumerable. First the Word of God, and then prayer. And then look at 15b. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Singing is crucial. Our praises, our hymns. The choir sang this morning in Mandarin to the Mandarin congregation. It will be disastrous if they sing in English during the Mandarin congregation and sing in Mandarin during the English congregation if all of us are only monolingual. They will be taken to task by the board of elders. The leaders of the choir will be called up. What are you doing? Mandarin congregation, you sing English? English congregation, you sing Mandarin? Are you okay? Something is not right. When you sing, people's spirit and hearts are lifted up only if they understand what you are singing. I did not know what they're singing. I just sat there and I was praying. I don't know what they're singing. The tune sounded familiar, but I can't remember the words. Felt very out of place because I'm also Chinese, you know. But I really felt like a banana. Yellow on the outside, very white on the inside. Very white. I don't understand. I tried to look at the words on the wall. It's improving. Now maybe 9.5%. I hope you'll cross over into double digit. I recognize one or two characters. The name Jesus, I know. Whenever my name, Chuan, is it? I know. But other than that, a bit here, a bit there, the simple strokes one I can understand. But then when I listen to Elder Chung sing, because he's standing next to me, he's got a very nice voice. But when he sing and pronounce it, it's different from the way I pronounce, so I better keep quiet. I thought I pronounced correctly, because I think singing and pronounce and speaking may be different. I don't know. So I'm just listening, trying to observe. I dare not try. Because if I try, I'm just saying sounds. I don't know what they mean, you know. I don't know what they mean. And so once in a while, when they sing the chorus, I try a bit now. But I don't know what it means, okay, honestly. Because he's next to me, I just copy him. Because he's repetitive. Chorus easy, because chorus they keep repeating. No fruitfulness. I don't know what they are singing. My mind is not benefiting a single bit out of it. So why do you want to sing hymns and songs of praise in a language that nobody understands? That's why whenever we have FEBC gathering in Mersing, whenever the foreign students present an item, one of the key unwritten rules is they must explain the song before they sing. Because we encourage them to sing in their own language, in their own dialect. But first they have to explain the song. Unless it's already a hymn that we are familiar with, like for example, if they want to sing Amazing Grace. We know the words already, they don't need to explain, we know it. But if it's a tune and a song that we are not familiar with, the first rule is explain the meaning before they sing. Otherwise you sing, what for? We don't know what you are singing, we do not know what the meaning of the words are. It is unfruitful. And so why do you want to use your spiritual gift of song, of singing, in order to help us grow in the Lord Jesus Christ because we don't understand you? That's why it has to be fruitful for the benefit of people, which means the mind must be involved. Understanding is crucial. Same with blessing. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall they that occupy the room of the unlearned say amen at your giving of thanks? When you bless God, when you have experienced God's protection and God's goodness from Monday to Saturday in your life, and you want to bless God and praise Him during worship, We don't know what you are saying. We don't know why you are giving thanks. We don't know what is the significance, what is the point of you blessing God. What did He do in your life that you want to bless Him, that you want to thank Him for? We don't know. We cannot be encouraged. Because the person may be going through a struggle that is similar to yours. And the Lord has seen you through. And if you can speak a language that He can understand, you just imagine how great an encouragement you can be to Him. Because He's going through the same thing that you are going through, and He needs you to help Him. And He can't if you do not give Him a word that He can understand. When I was a young Christian, I was going through some difficult times. Difficult times. There was a moment in my young Christian life, maybe a year or two after I became a Christian, because of one incident. I was invited to go across to Galilee side. That time the BP churches were still united. I was curious. The pastor there was casting out demons. And so I know one of the students. He was my best friend, or very good friend, Reverend Stephen Koo. He was a student in FBC that he said, "Hey, you want to come or not? Tonight we are going there, you know, to see, to help, you know." So out of curiosity, I was working then as an architect, and so I joined him. I went with him. I was frightened to death as I saw and witnessed. And then after that, after everything was all over, I went back home, but the impact and the effect was there. And so there were moments when I think of what happened. I felt like walking in front of a bus as I was waiting at the bus stop, or waiting to cross the road. I felt like walking into the car. I was so frightened and so scared, I dare not move. Then I went back home. That time we stayed at a rented premises in Chestnut Avenue, Upper Bukit Timah. My older sister, the one that I scolded when she gave me the first gospel, gave us, the whole family, the first gospel, I scolded her and get out of the house. She was the first one to become a believer. She's the one that the Lord took home also at the age of 29. And I talked to her because I think she saw my face very frightened or very nervous. Then she asked me, "What's wrong?" And I shared with her what I experienced. And then she comforted me. Then she said, "All right, I share with you one Bible verse. You read it, and this verse will help you." And she shared with me the Bible verse, and I understood it. She shared me in English. Okay, the Bible verse was in English, because she knows I don't speak any other language. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And that comforted me. And ever since then, that feeling, that experience disappeared. And I thank God for that. The understanding helped me to overcome that frightening, terrible, short, very brief experience by God's grace and mercy. The understanding is so important. So if you want to bless God and thank God for how He has helped you, do so in a language that people understand. Otherwise, what is the purpose? "For thou verily give thanks well, but the other is not edified." The people around you are not edified. What is the point of giving thanks during worship service when it is not understood by the people in the congregation? All these are aspects of worship service. And they were very badly abused and disrupted by some people in the church in Corinth because they wanted to speak in another language. Preaching, prayer, giving thanks, singing, song. And it was disruptive, it was chaotic, and the rest of the chapter Paul will highlight and demonstrate it even further. Don't do that. Understand the order of service, brothers and sisters in Christ. It is designed very carefully for our blessing and benefit. It is not mechanical, and it should not be a ritual. You must understand why the order of service is done in this manner, and it will help you appreciate in your participation of worship when you understand the reason why. Very important. Do you know that the worship is divided into two main parts? The first part is man to God, God's children thanking God the Heavenly Father. That's why it begins with stillness of heart, and so we sing that hymn to still our hearts, to quiet us, to leave all the cares and the burdens behind, to concentrate and focus. The Lord is in His holy temple. What temple? There's no temple in Jerusalem. The temple is in heaven. That's the temple. That means God is still on the throne. That no matter what you may be experiencing in your life on this earth, your heavenly Father is still in total, absolute control. Don't fret. Trust Him. Be calm, be still, and concentrate and focus in praise, in worship, in thanksgiving. That's why the hymn was sung. And then we sing our first hymn. And the first hymn ought to be in praise of God. God must be the focus. And so usually we choose it from hymn number one, I believe is hymn up to hymn 76 or 86. These are all on worship. There is a reason, there's a purpose. And then we have invocation. And then reading of God's word responsively to let the word of God reverberate around the sanctuary to remind us that we have just heard the word of God read. And later on, the same passage will be expounded, explained further. And then there will be another hymn. And then there will be the announcement to let people know what is happening in the church. And then giving our tithe and offering. All these are from us to God. Closing prayer as a thanksgiving. So we choose a thanksgiving prayer. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And then we give thanks for the offering, praying and asking God to accept it, receive it. It's still from man to God. But then after we dismiss the children now go to their own different assemblies where the word of God will now be preached to them or taught to them in a level, in a manner that they understand according to their respective ages. That's why we dismiss them. It's a continuation of worship. That's why it's called junior worship. Don't see this as a Sunday school. They are not disrupting worship. They are continuing worship because now the second part of the worship is God's turn to speak. We have spoken the first half. That's why the role of the chairman is so important. He is preparing us. He is representing us in praise and worshiping God. And then now after pastoral prayer, pleading for God to hear us, to help us, now it's God's turn to speak. It's the word of God. And that's why the preaching of the word of God has to be very, very carefully prepared and done. It is not here for opinions. It is the word of God that is being spoken, and it should never be the philosophies and the ideas or the opinions of man. And then a final concluding hymn as our response, and then benediction. There is an order, there is a purpose. So come understanding the worship. Understand the order of service for weddings. Understand the order of service for vigil service and funeral. All these are carefully thought through. They are not just arbitrarily done. Every step. So when you attend vigil services, pay close attention how the service is done. When you attend a wedding, same thing. Once you understand it, it becomes much, much more meaningful and not a ritual. Know it well. Worship is very important in the believer's life. For in worship, all of God's people, all of God's children have just returned from the world in their little corner where they have fought and keep on fighting week after week until the Lord calls us home against the temptations and the seduction of the world out there. And then every Lord's Day, we come back together. And sometimes we need to mend and tend to the wounds of some brothers and sisters in Christ who have succumbed. That's why the church is such an important, dynamic organism in the lives of all of God's people. Because this is the home away from home. And Satan will try to undermine it, hurt it, destroy it. And the best way and best time and best occasion is the worship. For in worship, He targets everyone in one stroke. All ministries are important, but they are for the respective age groups. But the worship service is for all of us. Let us truly worship God in spirit and in truth. Let us never look at worship service as something redundant, as an appendix in our lives. It is supposed to be part and parcel of our lives as children of the living God, because we are now at home with our family, our eternal family, where God is our Heavenly Father, and God brought us all together as His family through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for Your mercies and grace toward us. We thank Thee, O Lord, for this church, a church that Thou hast raised and sustained all these many years. We thank Thee, Lord, for the founding fathers of this church, And through their obedience to thy call, we are now the recipients of the manifold blessings. For through this church, we have been taught the truth. We have experienced a blessed and wonderful time of Christian fellowship to know that we have brothers and sisters in Christ who are of the same heart and mind as we have as we serve God together, earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints, as we serve thee out in the world, preaching the word that sinners may know the Savior, fighting the good fight of faith that you have entrusted to us, and then to come back home every Lord's Day to be among God's people, to build up one another's faith through the word, through songs, through prayer, through blessing and giving of thanks. May we continue to do so for Jesus' sake. May thou be pleased to help us and to guard and defend us against the attacks of the evil one, both from within and without, that the unity and harmony and the peace that we enjoy in this church week after week will be taken advantage of by your children, that we may all together grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, all the days of our lives, even until we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.